Steve, yes. And Thursday afternoon Zoom and next Sunday go around. Please note that little Ruth wanted to be made known that she's moving tomorrow, and I hope that we'll have her address and can't go physically see her and bring her up or something. So that's Ruth being tomorrow. Come to Chipotle?
Marshes.
Marshes.
Wash View.
Marsh View. Marsh
View. Washbutt Lane.
Marsh Lane.
Washbutt Lane.
Right, there we are. Marsh View.
Psalmist writes in Psalm 65, praise way to thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. For thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Let's pray together. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bless you for an evening in our worship. We thank you again, Lord, for an opportunity to bring our praise, our intercession. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised to meet with your people where two or three are gathered. And so, Lord, we look to you to come amongst us and to bless us, that you may smile upon us with your grace and favour. May all we do here be to your praise and to your glory. What we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First hymn, please, is in hymn book number 16, As Long As I Live.
Stop using cotton swabs.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of reverence and fear, for you are an awesome God. The great I am, you are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We come to one who is altogether different to ourselves. We come with humbleness, we pray, into your presence, beseeching the mercies and grace of your beloved Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Lord, for him. We thank you that he is our representative in the heavenly places. Great High Priest, Elder Brother, our Advocate, our Mediator, we humbly bow and we worship, for you are worthy of our praise. And tonight, Lord, we give you thanks that you have drawn us to this place where your name is honoured and uplifted. We come, for you bid us to come, and we come gladly, for you have done great things for our souls. We pray again, Lord, that you may smile upon us with your grace and favour, for we acknowledge our weakness, our frailty, we acknowledge our need, we acknowledge your power and your greatness, and the one who can supply all our needs. But Lord, we come to you in our spiritual poverty. We pray, Lord, that you may come and bless us and reveal yourself to us through your word. And we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we have it in our own tongue. We thank you, Lord, that we have that freedom and liberty to read it and to possess it. But Lord, we give you thanks for these things, but we want the word of God to affect us, to work in our hearts and minds, to transform us into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, Lord, we pray that you instruct us through your word. Lord, that you build us up, you encourage us, that you would bring that sweet spirit of consolation into our hearts and to our minds. For Lord, we are troubled. We live in a troubled world. We live amongst a troubled people, a troubled nation, and troubled families. Even our own hearts, Lord, are troubled at times. And we're fearful for the future. We're fearful for our nation. We're fearful for our children, for our grandchildren. We're fearful, Lord, in the direction this nation is headlong into destruction. So again, Lord, our God, we pray earnestly for our families. We pray for one another. We pray, Lord, that you'll come and bless them, particularly our children, Lord, and our grandchildren, as they're brought up in this evil day and generation. And we pray, Lord, there may be a true turning again to the true and living God. Lord, we see religion on every hand being proclaimed and exalted. We see the gods of this world being uplifted, but the true and living God is marginalised and seems to be irrelevant. And so, Lord our God, we pray that you would vindicate your name and vindicate your cause in this nation and around the world. We pray, Lord, to protect the minds of our children and grandchildren as they are taught many strange and ungodly truths. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up godly parents and grandparents to instruct our grandchildren and children in the ways of truth and righteousness. May we take these responsibilities seriously in our day and generation. And Lord, for those of us who are struggling this time, with illnesses and bereavements and concerns and cares, we lovingly commend each one to you tonight. Again, Lord, think of dear Barbara. Let's pray for her. Pray, Lord, she may receive much comfort this Lord's Day and through this coming week. And we pray, Lord, that you be kind and gracious to her, as you have done in the past. May she know that sweet presence of the Spirit of God, wherever she is tonight. And for dear Ruth, Lord, as she contemplates moving tomorrow, we pray, Lord, you go before her. May May she settle into her new environment quickly. May she feel comfortable there, Lord. Again, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless her, and that she may be a blessing to those who she'll be living with in future days. We thank you, Lord, for these dear ones. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to the fellowship here. Love us, Lord, who are sad and lonely, those, Lord, who are isolated. We again commend them to you, that they may know your presence to be with them. Lord, we look to the needs of this world. They're great and many. We look, Lord, to the church around the world and the great persecution and tribulation. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up godly men to lead the flock of Christ. We pray, Lord, for those who are imprisoned for their faith to be given much strength and help. They may know your presence with them also. And that, Lord, those congregations who are bereft of the under-shepherd, may they be greatly helped and encouraged. We pray, Lord, that those who are persecuted may be strengthened. They may have that holy resolve to press on despite fear of men. And so, Lord, we pray for your church in Sri Lanka and for the church in Asia and for many other places, Lord, around this world where the name of Christ is marginalized and despised, and your people persecuted. Lord, bless your people. Bless the church. Pray, Lord, again, that you would speak to us through your word tonight, that you would encourage us. Lord, we look to you in these things. We look to you, Lord, to revive us and to quicken us and to give us a holy zeal and a boldness in our witness for you through this coming week. So, Lord, again, we pray all we do here tonight may be to your praise and to your glory. We'll be asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Second hymn, please, is 390 in the church hymn book. Jesus, where my people meet. Hymn 390. I'd like to turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 77, the 77th Psalm. Let us hear the word of God together. To the chief musician, to Jedem, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled, but I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be faithful no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art a God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Mine arrows also went abroad. The voice of a thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters. Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The third hymn, please, is hymn number 791. Out of the depths I cry to thee. Hymn 791.
Oh, God,
Once again, if you can turn to that psalm, please, Psalm 77. Consider the psalm of Asaph. I'm not sure of the background of the circumstances where Asaph is writing this psalm. But we know he's a man of integrity. He knows a man of honesty. He's a man who tells it like it is. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He's perplexed. He's troubled. He says in verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In verse 3, I remember God and was troubled. I complained. What's he complaining about? We don't know. I think that's good because you can put your complaints into his words and his sentiments. He's a man who's troubled. He's troubled of the circumstances he finds himself in. He's troubled of the situation the church is in. And since this section has begun, Asaph has been honest with his readers. Right there in Psalm 73, he makes that glorious statement, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But then he goes on to describe his doubts and his fears, and it's almost, he seems to lose his faith. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, he says. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's envious at the prosperity of the unrighteous. Foolish. He sees him prospering. He says he has a jaundiced view of his life. Even the ungodly, when they die, they seem to die well without pain or conflict. And he lays this all before the Lord. And then the great turning point in that psalm is when he enters into a sanctuary. And again, in Psalm 77, he's perplexed. He's troubled. And it's a trouble which is rendering him lack of sleep. He complains that he cannot sleep. He complains that his nights are full of those tossing and turnings in his bed. And that's a common complaint in that day and generation. Did you know that 1 in 10 of the population of the United Kingdom taking sleeping tablets because they cannot sleep? Do you know that there's 7.3 million people in our nation taking antidepressants? What a terrible indictment upon our nation and upon the welfare of our people. 73 million people daily taking antidepressants. But for this man, there were no antidepressants. There were no sleeping pills. He couldn't go to his counsellor. He couldn't go to his doctor and seek help, for there's none to give him help. So what does this man do? He lays out his situation to God. And the first 9 verses are full of his complaints. 13 times he says, I cried unto God. I complained. I cannot speak. I have considered. I called to remembrance. He's not complaining about the I. He's complaining about my. Or mine. Verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice. Again, he repeats it. With my voice. Verse 2. The day of my trouble. My soul. This man is hurting. This man is seeking to commune with God. But it appears in his own heart, in his own mind, that God is not hearing. But again, he believes that God does hear. So in verse 1 he says, I cried unto God with my voice. And there's an antidote, isn't there, to our worries and our concerns, our fears and our troubles. I cried, that's a strong word, I cried unto God with my voice. He's going to verbalize, he's going to put his complaint into words. He's going to lay it out before the Lord in words. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. There's a lesson there for us, friends. Let's pray. Let's bring our complaints and our concerns to God in prayer. And let us use words. Speak to ourselves in prayer. Hear your own voice when you pray. And again, I would encourage you, when you come to the prayer meeting, use your voice. Words. Bring words before God. God loves to hear the words of his people. He loves to hear the cry of his people. Listen to what he says here. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. God wants to hear your cry. I encourage you again, brothers, sisters, when we come to the prayer meeting, let us pray. Let's not be constrained by tradition. Let's not be handcuffed. Let us bring our praise and our worship with words before our God, with our voice, even unto God with my voice. He underlines, he underscores it. It's an important point to him. And he says, he gave ear unto me. What an encouragement to us. But God gave ear unto him. And he'll give ear unto us when we pray. It encourages us when we pray together. We pray for one another. It's an encouragement to one another. But above all, God delights in the prayers of his people. With that said, he has doubts because he's bringing all his complaint to the Lord in prayer. He says, in verse 1, I cried. In verse 3, he says, I complained. And then in verse 4, he says, I cannot speak. There's a point where he's exhausted words. And then it appears that he can no longer pray. But he prays in his heart. He prays the prayer of faith. I cannot speak. It's a time to cry. It's a time to complain. It's a time to be silent. And the psalmist knew that. And as I've already suggested, we don't know the trouble he is in. In verse 2, in the day of my trouble, see, it's personal. There is something affecting him. There's the enemy attacking him. And his trouble is great. And he says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he says, my sword ran in the night. You can translate that, my hands were open in submission to the Lord God in prayer. In the night, sleep has bereft him. He can no longer close his eyes. He can no longer rest. And says, and cease not. My soul refused to be comforted. So he brings it to the Lord in prayer. Well, we encourage one another to do that in prayer. But even in that sense, he finds no relief. His soul refuses to be comforted. This man is wrestling with God in prayer. Remember Jacob there, when he's going to cross the river to meet Esau, and he sends the family, and he's alone there in the wilderness, and one comes to him, and he wrestles, and day's breaking, and one says to him, let me go. He says, no, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. He wrestled with God and prevailed. This man wrestles with God in the night, and finds no relief and no comfort. He doesn't see the victory. My soul refused to be comforted. And we can be in positions like that. You know, You're a burden for a family member. You have problems with your family. So many things bear upon us and cause us heartache and pain and suffering. And we lay it before the Lord and we plead before our God for mercy. And yet, we find no comfort. That's true for us. You've been in that position. You may well be in that position tonight. And my soul refused to be comforted. When Spurgeon was writing his commentary in the Book of Psalms, this psalm particularly spoke to him. Because he knew what it was like to be sore oppressed with physical pain and anguish, and also with the attacks of the enemy without, and even with attacks of the church within, those who were criticizing and seek to undermine his ministry. And he felt the pain of this psalm. And he writes that he's one who could sympathize. He can enter into the pain and anguish of Psalm 77. And I suggest you will be there, or have been there. And the psalmist lays it all before his God. He's taken up with I, with myself. And it says that that is right. He's being honest with himself. But he saw it just ran through the night. This pain, this anguish. It ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And then in verse 3, he seems to stir himself up. In Proverbs 23:7, we read these words. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, what he thinks in his head is manifested in his life. And this is what that psalmist is doing here. I remember God. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? I remember God, verse 3. Remembered God. He remembered the dealings that God had had with him. Remember those personal experiences when God has intervened for him, when God came to him and saved him. I remember God. I remember God. I remember the good old days. I remember things were different, unlike today. I remember God. And the last he says, and was troubled. He was troubled. Again, we can be just like him. We can look back on brighter days for the church, can't we? We can look back in our own assembly here when most of these seats were full. They were brighter days, weren't they? They were days when we were rejoicing together. We can look back through history, church history, periods of revival and awakening. He says, I remember God and was troubled. Why is he troubled? Because he remembers what God has done for him. He doesn't see God doing that for him today. And he's troubled. He's perplexed. And as he's troubled, I complained. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed. I think Asaph's problem was that he's thinking of his dealings with God, God's dealings with him, on that personal, experimental level, which is good. But that level is not a basis for us to build our faith. Our faith is foundational upon the doctrines of the faith. And when we just live on experience, that's when we come into trouble. And we're troubled and we're easily persuaded. So he remembers God, his past dealings with him. And he's troubled that this God, his God, is no longer working in the same way. And my spirit was overwhelmed. But verse 4 he says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. that's a strange expression, but what he's saying in the Hebrew is, you, God, are holding my eyelids, you're pinching them open so I cannot sleep. That's the picture. Thou holdest mine eyes waking, and I am so troubled that I cannot sleep. He's so restless. But he does fall asleep. He suddenly awakes, 5 o'clock in the morning, and he can't get his faults, his troubles, his complaints out of his head. You've been there? I've been there. Worries of the church, worries of members of the church, worries for our family. Suddenly we seem to be sound asleep, and all of a sudden, these things just rush into our heads and into our minds. And we just cannot think about anything else. Toss and return. This is his condition. I remember God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I hold his mind waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. In verse 5 he says, I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And again, he's considering, he's remembering, he's meditating on the great events that God has come in for the children of Israel. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. When he's awake, he takes up maybe his harp, for he's a psalmist, and he sings the sweet songs of the Psalms. And he remembers, I call to remembrance my soul in the night. In the night. We were considering the dark this morning, weren't we? And here he is, in the dark. He finds no consolation, no comfort for his soul. He communes with his own heart. He thinks on these things. He meditates upon the word of God. He communes with himself. He meditates, he chews over, he ruminates upon the word of God. He communes with his own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. This man is in trouble. Let me ask these questions from verse 7. It's sort of a ladder, aren't they, really? Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be faithful no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. How would you answer those questions tonight? Will the Lord cast off forever? No. And will he be faithful no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? No. Doth his promises fail forevermore? No. God, hath God forgotten? His promise never to forget. And we can affirm those promises, can't we? On a good day. When things are going well. When my wife or my husband's got good health. My children are prospering. The church is prospering. I'm prospering, then we can affirm, yes, these things are true. But see, the psalmist is honest. In the bad days, we can doubt this, can't we? Will the Lord cast off forever? Maybe. See, it's the way he feels. This is his problem. It's what he feels. And he addresses his problem. He pulls himself up. Now, this day and generation, we're not encouraged to tell people to pull themselves together. You know, pull your socks up. Get on with life, you know. But he has no psychiatrist to go to. He has no counsellor to go to. Verse 10, he says, and I said, this is my infirmity. This is my weakness. This is my sickness. his self-pity. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. To begin to think positively about the promises of God. You see, those questions he asked just then, they are the pillars of the ground of truth. The pillar of God's presence and God's promise to be with his people. And the word of God. And that's where we need to rest. That's where we need to build. Upon the promises of God and upon his word. These are what hold the psalmist. And in verse 10 he says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember my wonders of old. And for him, this is the turning point. From here onwards, it's no longer I or me or mine. It's now focused upon his God. Surely I remember my wonders of old. And I've said it before from this pulpit. This is what the Psalms continually reminding us to do. To remember what God has done in the past. To remember what God has come in for you to do. Those days of extremity, those days where God has seen us forsaken you and abandoned you, and yet unexpectedly comes into your help and to your aid. And he remembers that. What God has done for the people of Israel and for himself. And I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Not only is he going to remember it, but he's going to talk about it. He's going to share it with the household of faith. That's why we come together, is it not? Forsake not the meeting of one another together in the assembly of God's people. Why? To stir one another up unto good works. And if we're not here, we're not stirring. We're not encouraging one another. This is what he does. I will meditate also all thy works and talk of thy doings. Let me share what God has done amongst us. It's an encouragement to us. It builds us up in our faith. It gives us hope for tomorrow. And first thing is surely the key point. Verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Other translations would read, thy way, O God, is in his holiness. His holiness. It's the same thing. Sanctuary and holiness. A sanctuary was set apart for the glory of God. And this is God's way. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, in his holiness. Isaiah 6, familiar words. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Asaph now turns his attention to the sanctuary and to the holiness of God. When we think of his holiness, we think of his otherness, his moral purity, his ethical purity. He's altogether different to you and to I. He is holy in thought, word, and deed. His holiness is his character. It's one of his glorious attributes. And the psalmist sets his heart and his mind on the holiness of the character of his God. His otherness, his glory. And he says, who is so great a God as our God? Who is? For the gods of this world, made of men, hands made from wood and stone, a figment of their imagination, and they are no God. And Asaph drives this truth into his heart and to his mind. Who is so great a God as our God? And there is no other God. Our God is unique. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the God who sees our need, and in our need sends a Redeemer, his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other God could imagine such a thing. No other God could achieve such a work. Who is so great a God as our God? It's our God, friends. Encourage ourselves in this truth. This God, the God of the Scriptures, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is our God. And through him, we can do all things. Verse 14, he says, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. And the greatest wonder he's done for you and for me is the saving of a never-dying soul. Thou art the God who doest wonders. What a wonder that is. You. I. Miserable wretches, rebellious men and women against the holy and righteous God should come and redeem such a people. Thou art the God that doest wonders. You consider the wonders of the heavens, the spheres and the stars of all creation. They pale into nothing compared to the redeeming work the Son of God has achieved for his people. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared my strength among the people. Verse 15, thou hast with thy arm redeemed my people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Is this not a wonder to you? Thou hast with thy arm redeemed my people. This God who is altogether different to us, his moral purity, his ethical purity, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, has redeemed a people. Just grasp this truth. This God chooses to be the next of kin to his people. This is our kinsman redeemer. That's his choice. It's not our choice. Our choice is to rebel. And he chooses to redeem. And this is how he declares his power. This is the wonder. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. And this God has redeemed you and I. That is the wonder of wonders. That God Almighty, the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to a place called Bethlehem, makes himself of no reputation, laid in a manger, born of a virgin, ministers to the people of Israel, is condemned at the hands of vile and jealous men, crucified on a cruel cross, mocked and jeered, spat upon, corn of thorns upon his brow, his hands and feet pierced, and he comes to redeem a people at such a price. He chooses to be our next of kin, he chooses to be our brother and our redeemer. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. And again, this is a theme of Asaph through these Psalms here. He wants us to grasp the reality and the truth of this kinsman redeemer who's come to redeem a people. He speaks there of the sons of Jacob and of Joseph. And Joseph, it's a strange combination of two names we find here, the sons of Jacob and of Joseph. See, Joseph knew that the redeemer would come. When he was in Israel, he told his brethren, when I die, when you leave this land, do not leave my bones here, take them up with you into the promised land. He had a hope of promise. He had a hope of a redeemer. And he didn't want to be left in Egypt in all his idolatry and superstition. He wanted to be in the land of promise, in the land of resurrection. Is that why Joseph is mentioned? We know Jacob, the cheat, the liar, had become Israel. These are two men, trophies of God's grace and examples of God's redemption. Two examples of types of our Lord Jesus Christ. They should encourage us. They were ordinary men, just like you and I. Nothing special, but yet God chose them to be his favoured servants. Laseth, in verse 16, goes back in his memory to what God has done. He's remembering God's ways, thy ways, O God, in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. And he goes back in his mind to rehearse that picture of redemption for the nation of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. And as they entered into the promised land. Verse 16, very quickly. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lighted the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea. Thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. This is an example where the scriptures give us more light into that great event there in the Red Sea. As the children of Israel, in front of them was the sea, to the left and right the mountains. Behind them was the army of Pharaoh pursuing them. And the psalmist here, by the inspiration of the Spirit, gives us more detail into the events. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows, the thunder and the lightning. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. And the lightnings lighted the world. And the earth trembled and shook. And God, in his grace and mercy, troubled the army of Pharaoh. And they were consumed. And the people of Israel went across dry foot and into the promised land. That's what lays before us. That promised land. Glory itself. Is that our reason to spur us on? To be faithful in this day and generation? And then Psalm ends very promptly, some say abruptly. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I believe that is a promise to us. As he's led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, under the hand of Moses and Aaron, so he will lead you in future days. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Thou leadest thy people. See, the emphasis upon God. God's leading under the under-shepherds of Moses and Aaron. He leads us like a flock. He's a shepherd with a tender heart. He has compassion. He knows when we are hurting. He knows the balm to apply to those wounds. He knows when we are hungry and thirsty. He knows how to refresh our never-dying souls. And this God is our God. And he's promised to lead us. So he will not forget his loving kindness to us. He will not forget his hesed. He will not forget his mercy. He will never forsake us. Even when you feel he has, he has promised to be gracious until the day when we're called into his presence. May the Lord bless those thoughts to us tonight, encourage us on our way. sing our final hymn, which is 26. Bless the Lord, my soul. 26. Face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.